to pass judgment on mankind because we sinned against God in the garden. When Adam took of that forbidden fruit and he ate of that fruit, he died spiritually that day, and condemnation came, death came, sorrow and pain and travail and suffering and thorns and sweat, and all of those things came on mankind. But Jesus Christ was promised even then. God told the serpent, he said, listen, the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head, and in the process, his heel will be bruised. And we know that Jesus Christ was bruised for our transgressions, for our iniquities, for our sins. He took our punishment on himself, and in the process of him being bruised, he crushed the serpent's head. And we have eternal life through Christ alone. And it was a promised gift from the very beginning. God promised that he would send away. And we saw the picture there in Genesis chapter 3 that God slew an animal and he made coats of skins to cover. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's why Christ's blood had to be shed. Today we look at another promise here in Isaiah chapter 9. And I want you to know today that not only is it an unspeakable gift because it's a promised gift, it's an unspeakable gift because it is a priceless gift. You can't put a price on the gift that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're able, let's stand together. We'll read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Are you guys excited this morning? Man, I love the Christmas music. I love the Christmas songs. I love that song the ladies just sang, and just all the music Brother Dean picked out. And just, man, it's about here. I love this time of year. We got 1 week left as we celebrate our Savior's birth, and I just love it. I hope you're excited as we look into the Word of God to see this priceless gift. And the Word of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful day, beautiful day. And though it's cold outside, our hearts are filled with warmth and joy today. Thank you for our Savior's birth. Lord, we're so thankful for the birth, the virgin birth, the miraculous birth of our Savior, his sinless life, his death, burial, and resurrection, and all of these things that you've done for us in sending your Son. Lord, we thank you. We rejoice in it today, and we ask that you'd help us just to have wisdom today. Open our eyes of understanding that we can learn more about you and know you better and serve you in a greater way, Lord. Help us to be witnesses for you in our lives and with our words. And Lord, I pray that you get the glory today, and that your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. If there are some who need to make decisions for you today to be saved, to be baptized, to become a part of this local church, Lord, to make a greater commitment to you, whatever it is, Father, I pray your will be done in every life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And friends, I don't think there's any question today that this prophecy of Isaiah is referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you need to understand there's some things that were fulfilled in these prophecies about Jesus, and he fulfilled them in his birth. Some of them he fulfilled in his life. Some of them he fulfilled in his death and burial and resurrection. Other things he won't fulfill until he comes again. But mark my words, friends, and mark the word of God. Jesus Christ will fulfill every prophecy given about him. You can look back and see everything that has been said that he would do in his life and death and burial and resurrection. They tell me he fulfilled over 333 specific prophecies. And friends, he's fulfilled all of them, and he'll fulfill all the ones yet to come. Amen. And we're going to see some things today. There are those who'd like to tell you that this verse isn't prophesying about Jesus at all, that it's about some other man. But I want to tell you that there is no other man who is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now let's start to, we're just going to kind of break this verse down piece by piece today, if you will, please. Look, first of all, at the first part of the verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born." You say, well, Isaiah was a prophet to the nation of Israel, and his prophecies dealt with Israel, and that is very much true, but you need to understand something, that people are not Israelites, they're not Jews by birth or by lineage, we are Israelites by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His process, his kingdom is not one of blood, his kingdom is one of faith. Okay, nobody's amen, and you must not believe me, so let me help you out a little bit today. Romans 4 and verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that to which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For unto us a child is born. It wasn't restricted just to Israel, just to the seed of Abraham, as in his earthly lineage. It is to all those who come to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad today that I can claim the promise of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Unto you today a child is born. Unto all who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is born. To all who believe. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says it like this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Listen, we get the promise of the Spirit, what's that? Well, if you repent of your sins and you put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you get eternal life. We're given life by the Holy Spirit of God, entrance into the kingdom of God, and life everlasting because of this child who was born. By the way, Isaiah wrote these words probably some 800 years before Christ was born, but you notice he said it in the present tense, because the promises of God are as sure as done. Unto us a child is born. It's done. Before he ever came, it was done. Amen. We sit together with Christ in the heavenlies. I'm not in heaven today, but it's as good as done because of the promise of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And friends, listen to me. I know you've heard these verses. You've heard the Bible story, the Christmas story so many times. You've heard the Christmas songs. And poor Sister Marita, I took my time and she had to play one of them like 87 times. And I know sometimes you get used to it and it doesn't become as special to you. It doesn't mean as much to you. But I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that ought not get cold to us. It ought not be nothing to it. It means everything to us today. Amen. He said, well, he was talking to the shepherds. But friends, Jesus came to be the Savior of the whole world. Amen. He was born unto us, unto all who would believe. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And we have the son who came, the child that was born, and a son that was given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. If you want to look at it there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, Luke 1 and verse 31, the Word of God says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son in his name, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. It shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary, who was a virgin, who had never known a man, the Holy Spirit of God came on her, and she conceived, and she brought forth a son, and he was the Son of the Highest. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he wasn't just the son of Mary. He wasn't just the adopted son of Joseph. He was the Son of God. Amen. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, how did that work? I don't know. We just know what the Bible says. Amen. The power of the highest overshadowed. The Holy Spirit of God came on her and she conceived. You say, well, it's impossible for a virgin to conceive. We don't call it a miracle for nothing. That's scientifically impossible. Yeah, God's able to do what's scientifically impossible. He invented science. It's possible for God to go outside of the laws of nature because he invented nature. He created it. And only he can go above it and beyond it. And he did that with his son. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And over again in the scriptures, Mark chapter 1 says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark begins all that Mark would say about Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to know about Jesus, the Christ. I want you to know his good news. And it starts with this: he's the Son of God. It's where it begins. But Mark kind of ends with that, not the very end of the book, but towards the end of the book in Mark 15:39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And the angels declared he would be the Son of God. And the apostles and the preachers and the ones who wrote the scriptures, they were given the truth that he is the Son of God. And even those who stood by to watch him give up the ghost, when they saw him die on the cross for our sins, he said, this was the Son of God. And people who saw Jesus, they didn't get confused about these things. You know why the Pharisees hated him? Do you know why they wanted to kill him? Because he said, I'm the Son of God. Amen. He claimed to be God. Now, the Muslims will tell you today that God had no son. And yet the Bible is replete with the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Listen, you need to understand something today. All religions are not the same. Amen. All people who claim to be Christian are not the same. All people who preach in the name of Jesus are not the same. Amen. Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be God. Amen. I talk to people all the time and say, oh yeah, to be saved, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. You need to have Jesus Christ, your Savior. And they just flippantly throw his name around, but they don't believe that he is God, robed in human flesh. They don't believe that he is God, creator of all things. And that was the prophecy from the very beginning. The truth of the Word of God from the very beginning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Make no mistake about it, friends. This gift, this one who was given for us, is the Son of God. I want to ask you something today. Have you ever been given a gift that was very valuable? Anybody? Amen. Some of you have been given gifts that were very valuable to you. And don't misunderstand me today. Sometimes it's not about the money that was spent on it. Sometimes it's about the sentiment behind it. Amen. Have you ever been given something that was precious to you? Amen. Sometimes I've been given things in my life that are precious to me because they were precious to the one who gave it. You know, when somebody gives something that's precious to them and they give it to you, man, that means something to you. Well, let me tell you something, friends. There's nothing more precious than your own child. But God gave his son. Now, I've told you this before, but those of you that have children will get this. Those of you that have grandchildren might get it better because you like your grandkids better than you like your kids. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that's what I thought. I would like to believe. I really do, and maybe I'm messed up in the head because I think about stuff like this, but you guys already knew that. I'd really like to believe that if some maniac came in the door back there with a gun and was ready to shoot everybody, I'd like to believe that I'd take a bullet for anybody in here. I do. I'd like to believe that. Everybody, even you, Brother Freddie. But I want to tell you something. I'm not putting one of my kids up in front of a bullet for anybody in here. If it's between you and one of my kids, sorry. Really, I'm not sorry. That's just the way it is. I would give myself for you, but I'm not giving one of my kids for you. Now, we can't even comprehend. I love my kids. But God loves his son more than I could ever even imagine. And yet he still gave him for us. And people mock him. And they ridicule him. And they say we need to have reason this season, that Jesus isn't the reason for the season. We need to have reason. They say all kinds of things about our Savior. They blaspheme his holy name, and they insult him, and they reject him, and yet he still gave himself for those people. We need to understand what we've been given today. It's a gift so precious. Let's get into it a little bit now. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. We get a little clue about what this might be talking about. Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And there's a principle in scripture that we see that those who had authority, there was a signification on their shoulder. Maybe some kind of marking, maybe some kind of ensign, something that lets you know that they were someone of authority. Let me tell you something, friends. Jesus Christ has all authority. The government, the rule of the whole world will be on the shoulder of Jesus Christ. He will uphold all things by his power, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. By the way, people are always wanting government to fix things. Well, when Jesus comes, his government will fix things. Take care of it all. And his name shall be called Wonderful. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Isaiah 29:14 says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is called Wonderful because everything about him is wonderful. Amen. So when the angel came and said, you will call his name Jesus, it was a reason behind it. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Why is that? Because the name Jesus, it means Savior. The Greek word Yeshua, the Old Testament, it's the same name as Joshua. It means literally Savior. And so God said, listen, I want you to call his name Jesus because he's going to be a Savior. And here Isaiah says his name's going to be called Wonderful. Why? Because everything about him is wonderful. Amen. I want you to think about what we're talking about today. What about his birth? Isn't his birth wonderful? Amen. I mean that God would become a man and be born of a virgin in a lowly manger. That is wonderful. It brings wonder to our hearts and our minds. It's something that is amazing to us, or at least it ought to be. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. I mean, you think about the life of Jesus when he's 12 years old. He's in the temple confounding the wise men. I mean, these scribes and Pharisees who know all these things, been studying it their whole lives, have years of experience. They're listening to Jesus answer questions and ask questions, and they're astonished at his understanding. His whole life was astonishing to people. Everything he did astonished people. It amazed people. It was a wonder because his life was wonderful. Matthew 21:14 says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Let me tell you how messed up people are when they hear about Jesus. It upsets them. I don't know about you, but I'd like to believe that if I was there that day and the lame were coming in and the blind were coming in and the children were coming in and Jesus was healing them all. I mean, if I had somebody in my family who couldn't walk and I brought them to Jesus and he healed them, I would think that was wonderful. Amen. And the blind given their sight. I mean, people who had been born blind. Jesus was able to give them sight. Amen. The people who had never walked in 40 years, he was able to make them walk. Amen. People who had never heard a sound in their life, he gave them hearing. People who couldn't speak, he opened their tongues that they could speak.
I mean, even the dead were raised to life again. Jesus did some wonderful things.
Amen.
His life was wonderful.
His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His life was sinless. Listen, Jesus Christ was 100% God. He was also 100% man. And as a man, Jesus Christ conquered temptation. Amen. Something no man has ever done. Amen. Jesus did. He overcame every temptation that came. He healed the sick, the halt, the deaf, the mute, the blind. He raised the dead. He preached the gospel of peace. He forgave men's sins. And who can forgive sins but God? Not only did he have a wonderful life, but he had a wonderful death. Now, you might take offense at that. When you consider that Jesus Christ was falsely accused, falsely tried, falsely executed. When you think about the scourging and the beating that he took. When you think about the blood that he shed, you think about the cross that he bore, when you think about how they nailed his hands and his feet to that old rugged cross and they hung him up there naked and bleeding in front of everyone, bearing our sin, bearing our shame, you say, preacher, how could you say that's wonderful? Because, friends, that's the only way that we could have eternal life. It's the only way that our sins could be forgiven. It's the only way that we could be born again. And it is tragic and it is heartbreaking to think about my Savior hanging on that cross, friends, but it is a wonderful death. But because it's the death that gives us life. He should be called wonderful. And it'll be wonderful when we hear the trumpet sound and we're caught up together with him in the air. It'll be wonderful when he comes again with all his saints and all his glory and he sets up his kingdom on this earth. It'll be wonderful when he finishes all the judgment and burns up everything that's been corrupted by sin and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be wonderful when his city comes down, that new Jerusalem. Listen, friend, everything about Jesus Christ is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. In Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Listen, friend, Jesus Christ is the one who gives wisdom. He's the one who gives counsel. There is no truth outside of Jesus Christ. He is truth. He defines truth. I don't know if you've ever listened to any philosophers these days, but it's really comical. And if it would be even funnier if it wasn't so sad. But if you listen to these people, they don't believe in truth. They don't believe in absolute truth. You get to have your truth, and I get to have my truth. And your truth is your reality, and my truth is my reality, and there is no absolute truth. You know how ridiculous that is? Listen, you climb up. You go down here to Fort Smith and you go downtown and you find the tallest building downtown and you take an elevator and climb the stairs and go up on the roof and you and this other philosopher has his own truth. You both step off of that building and guess what? The reality of gravity will affect you both. There are some truths in this world today. Irrefutable truths. I want you to know where truth comes from. It comes from our Creator, Jesus Christ. His nature defines truth. And he is willing to be our counselor. He is available. He's made himself available to us to give us truth, to give us wisdom, to give us instruction and understanding. Do you realize how wonderful it is? Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys ever go to somebody else for advice? Okay. How many of you guys Google something for advice? Oh, Lord. I hear people sometimes, and it wasn't that long ago I saw somebody and they were talking about decisions they were making and they had based their decision for something in their life off of something they saw in a movie. You're shaking your head. You said you Google stuff for advice. Yeah, because it always works out in life like it does in the movies, right? Do you know how ridiculous we are sometimes? Hey, listen, I've gone to some friends before in my life and asked them advice on stuff. You know how dumb that was? If you'd have known my friends, you'd be, you idiot. And I look at them and think, man, they gave really stupid advice. And then I got to look at myself and say, well, what kind of idiot goes to them for advice? What does that make me? I mean, we go to people for advice. We ask people, and maybe we've got a little bit of wisdom, and we'll ask mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or somebody in the church. We'll go to somebody who actually has some wisdom, and that's good. But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is our counselor. He has not only come to be our Savior, He's made Himself available to give us wisdom and instruction and the way of life. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24 to 27 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. And I want you to know that this word counselor, this word that God says, I'm going to give my counsel, it's the same word used here in Isaiah 14, 24, for purpose. Listen, as I have purposed, God says, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? I want you to know something, that God has a counsel, He has an instruction, He has a purpose that He wants to accomplish in your life. And God, by His incredible love for us, Jesus Christ, has made us friends. And He hasn't held anything back from us. But He has given us His holy word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us everything so that we can know the counsel and the purposes of God. Why do we leave our Bibles to get dusty? Why do we ignore the Word of God? Why do we ignore the preaching? Why do we ignore the teaching? Why, when God has given us all of His counsel, all of His purposes laid out right before us, do we just set it aside? Friend, we've got the counsel of God. He is our counselor, and He counsels us through His Word, through His Spirit, to give wisdom to the simple. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called The Mighty God. I've talked to some really smart people, a lot smarter than I am. They let me know that Jesus isn't God. They're wrong, but they're really smart. I said, well, what about Isaiah 9:6? And they said, well, that, see, it says Mighty God. It doesn't say Almighty God. That's good, isn't it? Clever. Oh, you got me. Except Deuteronomy 10:17 says, for the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God and a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. Listen, the God of the Bible is the Mighty God. Amen. The child that was born, the son that was given, He is the Mighty God. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. In truth, the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the Mighty God. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. And who is this that has created all things? Who is this mighty God? Well, John 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And friends, the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, when you read Genesis 1 and it says, "Let there be light," God said, "Let there be light." That was Jesus. He is the Word of God, the Creator of all things. And I love how God talks to us. He said, "All things were made by Him." And in case you don't understand that, there is nothing that was made that wasn't made by Him. Everything was made by Him. Everything. He's the Creator of all things. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Hebrews 1, verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." The same one that created all things, the same one who gave Himself for us, who shed His blood, who gives us life. He purged our sins. The same one who created all things is the same one who died to save us. Even doubting Thomas got it. When Jesus appeared the second time and said, "Here I am, Thomas. See? Come touch my side." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus Christ is wonderful. Everything about Him is wonderful. He is Counselor, and He is the Mighty God. We're gonna finish the rest of this verse tonight, and I hope you'll come back, because it gets better and better and better as you go along. Now I want you to listen to this. A lot of people have given some consideration to Jesus. They've stumbled across Him, and they think He's all right, and he's pretty good, but they're some people will leave Jesus behind and try to find something better. But Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew 13, 45, is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, this man was looking for something, searching. But when he found Jesus, he let go of everything else and got a hold of Jesus. Do you get it? He's the pearl of great price. His kingdom is the pearl of great price. His gospel is the pearl of great price. He is the gospel. He is the kingdom. It's Him. And friend, I beg of you today, don't just pass Him by. Don't just give Him a fleeting thought. Give Him all your heart. Don't just give Him a little time on Sunday morning. Give Him every moment of every day. He is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As we get ready for an invitation this morning, would you stand with me, please? You might have heard of an ancient Persian named Ali Hafed. Ali Hafed owned a very large farm. He had orchards and grain fields and gardens. He was wealthy and content. But one day he had a traveler come through, a very, very wealthy man, and he said, "If you only had a diamond mine, you would have so much more." Now, Ali Hafed was a content man. He was a happy man. He was a very wealthy man, but he got to thinking about that diamond mine. He felt like something was missing, and he thought all that he had wasn't good enough. So he sold his place. He sold his farm. He sold everything that he had, and he went out to find a diamond mine. And he searched the world over until he had spent all that he had and was broke And in his despair and in his depression, Ali Hafed took his own life. One day, the man who purchased Ali Hafed's farm led his camel into the garden brook to get a drink. And while the camel stooped down to drink, the man who purchased the farm noticed something glittering in the water, and he pulled out a stone. It was a diamond. And that farm that Ali Hafed had left behind became the diamond mine of Golconda, one of the richest diamond mines the world has ever known. Isn't that pitiful? And I think about that man. I think about people who come to church and hear the gospel and leave. Listen, friends, if you've heard the gospel, if you've heard that God became a man and lived a sinless life and he gave his life on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again the third day and offers eternal life and forgiveness of sins to all who will come to him by faith, you have heard the greatest treasure the universe will ever know. It's right here in the Word of God, and you're not going to find anything better out there. This is it. It doesn't get any better than this. This is the greatest truth in the world. And don't ignore it. Don't throw it aside. Don't cast it away to go find something better. There is nothing better. What you're leaving behind if you leave the gospel is it. Everything that you could ever hope for. The greatest gift, the unspeakable gift, this priceless gift. So, dear friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior today, if you've never with all your heart repented of your sin, for we are sinners, if you've never repented of your unbelief, if you've never trusted in Christ with all your heart, friend, you can be saved today. He will give you life everlasting. And if you have treated Christ like he's not worth much to you, if you haven't loved him, if you haven't stayed in his word, if you haven't continued in his word following him, friend, I want to tell you today, you need to come back. There's nothing better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift, the greatest treasure, and he is worth all our life. If he's convicting your heart of anything today, salvation, baptism, church membership, whatever it is, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 521.